Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Okay, folks, we're live now because there's so much crazy shit going on. I can't even believe that you missed that amazing opening thing that just that time jump that just happened. So what Scott is doing right now, what you guys don't know, is Scott spent the weekend in an improv class. So instead of reading from his usual monologue like he does every week, he's going to be yes-anding on the spot.
That's right, Desmond. Everything you're about to hear is made up on the spot. Nothing we have said has been preordained, pre-recorded, pre-written. Whatever we say today will be spontaneous from the top of our noggins.
I am going to talk now
about movie
time travel. Oh my gosh, I'm already overheating. I got to take off my hoodie. This is crazy.
They wouldn't believe they were making this up on the spot. This is too much. Too much. All right. You put a little bit of nipple in for the show. We just got a PG-13 rating. Thank you. PG-13. Hello. If he shows his butt, this turns into an R rating.
Just double checking right now because last time we recorded, actually, it was the last time or the time before, we weren't live. We never went live. So...
this is all for us. Desmond doesn't even put these podcasts out. He just tells me that. And this is just like a fun movie club.
And this is Scott, the podcast. Scott's going to be a therapist someday. And this is his therapy to stay and manage himself.
How did the time travel make you feel? Do you think Marty meeting his mother was really delving into some inner child work and some transgenerational trauma was thereby healed throughout his time travel? Would you say that was accurate?
Yes.
Yeah. We might change this whole podcast. This might be like a therapeutic time travel podcast. How can you heal your wounds through time travel?
Each time we'll each be a character from the movie and we'll kind of figure it out. Yeah. Can you let me know? We're going to just do this live. Does my volume change at all when I do this? Is my volume changing in your mind? Oh, awesome. Okay. Then I can do that. And then I can actually hear myself a little bit, which helps me. Because if I can't hear myself, why am I doing this? I mean,
what's the point? Then he won't get an idea, self-identity. And then he won't have that his voice is accepted and heard and seen.
But you know what I did just learn? When I do that, I can't hear you.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I'm not saying anything too important. I'm just talking out of my ass for about an hour. It's fine.
When Scott's lips stop moving, I'll just pick up wherever.
Does yes and be like, oh, I agree. And also.
Yes. And the other day I was wandering through, but that was the other day. Today, welcome Chrononauts as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture, wait for it, as our cocktail of meth, murder, and mayhem. We will be your constants. I'm Dez.
I'm Scott. And
this is
Time Pop.
I mean, you know what?
Yeah, improv is strong. It's good.
Do you know what wasn't improvised? For the first time, I believe, in this podcast history, my tagline was not improvised. I could not think about what I wanted to say, and so I had to go on IMDb and literally look at their taglines.
Okay, that's fair. It didn't have like great quotes in it. It's not a quotable. But while I'm saying what we're talking about, maybe we should tell our loving audience what we're doing.
I am pressing play now. I meant to come in and press play on this. I'm just all kinds of behinds, folks. We're running fast and furious today. Kind of like we're on meth. Oh my God. I just did a little bit of coke.
Oh. And I'm cutting up magazine articles. I'm making a collage. Woo! Woo!
We are talking about Blood Punch from 2014. I assume it's rated.
Sometimes it says 13, but it's sometimes 215. I think 213, but we'll see.
This movie definitely screams film festival. So it was probably at a 2013 film festival, and then someone decided to buy it.
Yep. Yes. Because I'm seeing stuff for 2013 and 2014. So yeah, it was, yeah.
The most important, it's written and directed. I don't want to belittle any of these people, but nobody's in this, right? You know, no any one. Of the,
not a famous individual. No, this is an independent film, my friends, which has value. And that's not, you know, we're just letting you know, don't, there's no Brad Pitt in this one.
This is what you get when you do meth all weekend while watching Quentin Tarantino movies. Oh, and then you accidentally woke up, like you finally passed out and the streaming player kept playing other movies and somehow Primer started playing.
Yeah. This is everything you're saying is all very fair. I'm on board.
But the biggest question, we might be jumping ahead a little bit. Why Blood Punch? Does that
Actually, you're totally right. There is blood throughout the film at different parts. And I was like, this is why. But there's never a term called blood punch. Punching is not a big part of it. Yeah, it's a weird choice, actually.
Yeah, it very much is.
From there, our review will begin.
and again, I'm going to just jump way ahead. I really enjoyed this terrible movie.
Where is it on the Barry list?
19.
It's number 19?
Number 19.
No.
Barry's list.
Wait, no, I don't even believe it. I've got to look this up to see for myself.
It for the first half hour, I did not believe it. I was like, wow, this is the biggest swing and a miss since Kimmy No Wawa. But it's unique. And Barry.
Oh my God, you're right. It's right after Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
This is higher up. Well, in Back to the Future 3, I'm not going to mess with that, but, and this is 3 or 4 before Edge of Tomorrow. Whoa.
Ooh, that's
questionable.
Yeah. I would have to scrutinize his list a little bit more, but once a few things, the first half hour, I was like, oh my, like I was seriously like about ready to text you and just be like, I know I really want to do a bad movie podcast, but is this how we want to launch our bad movie podcast?
Wow.
And then again, some things happen that we'll get to that. I'm like, okay. All right.
It's October month and we wanted to do, there is a lot of horror time travel. We've done the Happy Death Days and we just thought like, this was kind of horror. It's on Barry's list. What could possibly go wrong?
What went wrong, Scott?
Well, I'm not going to say I like this film. And it's not because it's independent. There are independent films that I like. It just doesn't offer much. It's not compelling characters. The time travel is not exciting. It's a loop film. And then even the method of time travel, I don't know. As we get into the now, the world's a little more woken. The world's a little more aware of cultural appropriation. And this thing that we used to do in the 80s, where like, for a horror film or sci-fi, if you just say it's like Native American ground, it gives you this freedom to do whatever the fuck you want. And so it's like in this film, sorry, spoiler alert, due to the fact that blood had been shed on Native American land, if you shed someone's blood, you're forced to go into a time loop in a certain amount of space. And it's like all people of Caucasians in it. One says, he pulls the old, oh, I'm 1/16th Cherokee, whatever the fuck, which is another thing. You just can't. He's the whitest guy. He's like super blonde hair, blue-eyed Aryan, Nazi-looking antagonist. And he's like trying to set him up that he's like comes from powerful medicine people. Anyway, the acting is not great. It doesn't go to a lot of places. The time travel, all of the things I would want from a film, I'm not getting. There's no review.
I was explaining this movie to Kelly, my wife, this morning. And as soon as I mentioned the Native American appropriation, she's just like, no.
Like,
and in 2013 or 14 is 30 years too late.
And it's not like there's a Native American director or the actors or that's in the family of the characters. It has nothing. They're all just a bunch of fucking white folks.
Even if you're going to do this, have one of your characters actually be Native American. I'm not saying that makes it right or okay.
But there's a reason. They even do peyote to like on brand. Which,
and does that do any? That
no, it's not necessary. You could have played what you could have played with that with throughout the film. He's like, am I still on this trip or is this really happening? Did the peyote mess up how I see time and space? Did that take me to a gateway? There are things they could have done with it. There are reasons it could have existed, but it's not.
And we're always complaining that there's never a reason for the time loop. I would take magical who the fuck knows over over this.
Yeah, it's such a loose. And like when they were on the peyote trip and he started telling that story, I did like, okay, this is a thing. This is going to be an important thing. And yes, it was. During the trip, he says, oh, I'm from a bunch of medicine people in my family. And back in the there was wars here. And then the war ended with only one man standing. Hint, 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 hint.
Yeah. And if this guy was, I wouldn't believe it if he said he was 128 Native American. This guy is so fucking white.
Oh.
So again, we're setting up a terrible Quentin Tarantino knockoff. So
everything you said was right. You said Tarantino. You said Primer. What else did you say? And like,
I need a time loop movie in there somewhere. Primer isn't really a time loop. Like Groundhog Day. Like maybe.
But Primer's got that feeling of like people betraying each other, and like at some point,
you know,
you don't fully know what's going on. It's a bit overdone. Like in the beginning, you see her character, and you're just like, you're not buying it. You're like, oh, she's supposed to be the badass. Everybody smokes like they don't actually smoke cigarettes.
None of these people have ever smoked a cigarette in their fucking life.
You picked up on that too?
Yeah. If they had been walking around,
I don't care about this place.
If they had been walking around with dildos hanging out of their mouth, it would have looked more natural than seeing these three characters smoke.
All right. We both picked up on that. That's good. Yeah. I had a sketch comedy show in college. And I had a skit where I had to smoke cigarettes and I didn't. If you don't smoke cigarettes, you can't really. If it's important to your role, you probably have to actually learn to do it because you just can't. You have to like cough and it's awful. So you just fake it. You're like.
And no one's inhaling. It's just like light. Smoke. There's even one scene where she like obviously doesn't light the cigarette, and then you know they cut away fairly quickly and then cut back and it's of course lit and she's blowing smoke all over the place. The guy does manage a smoke ring. I don't know how he pulls that off. Like there's one scene where they're obviously just like,
oh yeah,
you know, act like you're cool and you've done this before, and he gets a half-hearted smoke ring out. So this movie starts in, God, I just realized she's fucking handcuffed. So it starts off in a rehab center just so we can again get some crazy dialogue and people
are
talking.
It starts. He wakes up and he throws up, right?
Yes.
The first thing he wakes up, he throws up. You see that there's a Play Me video thing. He starts playing it and you see his future self talking to him.
So a few things don't reset in this movie. The bodies don't reset, their research doesn't reset. Is there vomit all over? Does the vomit reset, or is there just puke in every corner of this house?
Yeah, actually, can we break this down a little bit?
Yes.
So in this, when they loop again, unless you died, you remember your previous experience. If you died, you don't remember. You wake up again and you don't know. Like Desmond's saying, if you died though, the body stays, even though time loops again, you're dead. So there could be you alive and your dead body from the previous loop, which I don't get why that would happen if time is actually resetting. Part two is in the end of the film, spoiler again, the video camera has been recording this whole time. And for some reason, the video camera doesn't reset. The video camera is constant. So
you just made me realize that would have been a cool twist in this movie if they had found a grave site from one of the previous loopers.
Yeah.
Because if this has happened before, at least two or three times.
A bunch of bodies of others. Something unexplainable would have been interesting.
Yeah, just like, why is there of course, it would have been an Indian burial ground, but we'll just move past that.
Isn't that the plot of Poltergeist? Isn't it over an Indian Native American burial ground, the house?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I did know that, and I've been listening to some old We Hate Movies and listen to them talk about the Poltergeist again. And yeah, I knew, I didn't really, I think part of that, sorry, this is fourth hand, is they keep moving. I think they're moving, they're being polite and moving the bodies, but they're still encroaching on the burial ground, on the sacred ground.
Yeah. And these are all just about white guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just revenge.
And of course, so our main character. So yeah, so it starts off. So like Scott says, he wakes up, throws up. So yeah, where do we want to start?
Yeah, we're fine. We started. He throws up. He starts playing the video of himself. Now we cut to the fact that like he's in a rehab center for meth addicts.
Why does he chop off his fingers?
I think it's to prove to the guy, because he wakes up with his fingers intact.
So he's saying, I'm recording this tomorrow.
He recorded it the night before. He's like, you're going to wake up tomorrow. Oh, wait.
But he's watching the video.
He has to die. So he made this video. I guess he could have made that video and just let it stay there for days, because he thinks if she kills him, that'll be necessary. But the finger chop off was just random before he went to bed one night, because when she kills him, we don't see the missing fingers. It's not like he. All right. Well, whatever.
Yeah, they don't really pound that point in, which I guess is kind of cool.
But chopping off your own finger is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, you'd think they would have choreographed a little bit more, like, you know, and then like at the end of the video, maybe he shoots himself in the head, you know, and then he's like, this is you tomorrow. Bang. I don't know.
Yeah, it's for when he wouldn't remember. Anyway, he's in the rehab.
So
center.
The whole movie, there is a version of this movie where he's watching the video catching up. And then, of course, we're watching the movie from real time, from his perspective in the rehab set the day before. So the movie starts Wednesday and then he starts talking a little bit and then boom, it's Tuesday. It'd be Monday. They're in the rehab center and they're, you know, again, we're just Tarantinoing it up. Everyone's just saying the most terrible things ever. These people have all been, you know, you can't just be a drug addict. You have to be, you know, an abused drug addict. So we get a lot of great stories from the abused people. And then our main character, she's just being super duper cool. She's been here for a while.
She was new.
Did she just show up that morning?
Something like that. That was my impression.
And she's looking for a cook.
Yeah, they're all like talking about how they don't need meth. And she's like, fuck all that. Let's do some meth. And they're like, what? This is rehab. She's like, eh.
I like meth because then I can fuck for 36 straight hours because I'm
right.
Super...
She says things that are shocking. She smokes cigarettes in rehab. And there's no counselor running things. So nobody stops her. It's just run by the patients and they're all shocked.
And she lights through the whole movie. She lights matches with her finger because she's so fucking cool.
She's the most badass. Later on, she tells this kind of nerdy dude in the group that she's looking for a cook and they can make a lot of money and she should break him out.
Just one night. He's like, yeah, but eventually I'm going to get caught. She's like, we're just going to do this massive cook, make $1 million and then live happily ever after. They, of course, have sex. I shouldn't say of course, but like
he's on board.
Yeah, that's kind of how she seals the deal. And she's very upfront. So has she been living this day over and over again?
No.
She must be.
Because they kill him on the next day after he makes the meth.
And after the peyote. See, that would make more sense why she's so nonchalant if this was her day that she lived, but then they would have never.
It wasn't until they killed him, which had been a day later. Although it has to be. It's Tuesday. That's the day that gets. Wait. That doesn't make sense, though, because they began their Tuesday in there.
So no, Tuesday. So Monday. Yeah. Monday, she gets them on board. Tuesday, they spend all day.
They break out Monday night. Tuesday, they start. They wake up. They do their day. He cooks. They kill him that night.
No.
And they repeat it.
So Monday night, they do peyote?
Yeah. No. Oh, fuck.
I think Wednesday night, he died.
Well, Wednesday night is Tuesday, but they keep repeating Tuesday. So
Tuesday is the night. So, yeah. So Monday night, they break out of prison. They do peyote. Tuesday, yeah. You're right. Tuesday is the
anyway. Cook. Yes. So she goes in there. She propositions him. She sleeps with him. She's like, oh, by the way, my boyfriend is going to break us out, and he's the devil. And he's like, boyfriend. And then she's like, let's go. And they leave the rehab. They break out of the rehab, and then a cop pulls him over and is going to threaten to kill him. And we find out that is the boyfriend. So boyfriend is this awful cop who likes killing people. He's taking them in a police car.
Yeah.
He's like, you're a cop. It's like, I just quit. And so we're told that this guy is like the devil. He's the worst. And she's in a relationship with him, but she's not enthused.
And so then they spend all day
they go to a cabin, which is like a hunting lodge covered in lots of like hunting equipment.
And the whole night, the boyfriend is like testing him.
Yeah.
You know, and just being that weird, like proving to us that he's psychotic. Like, and he's got a big thing where, you know, the only real truth is a bullet. You know, if you put one bullet in a gun,
that's going to come back in this film.
Oh, God, yes. The first time he does that, does he only leave one chamber empty at the beginning of the movie? Or just, I swear he only takes...
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. I keep one chamber empty.
Yeah.
Because the bullet tells the truth. That's been in another film, by the way.
This movie.
It's been in a few films, yeah.
This is the kind of movie that would be in a Seinfeld episode. We're going to go see Blood Punch. Blood Punch, yeah. Meet you there, Jerry.
He's like, you slept with her, didn't you? He's like, that's okay. That's what I told her. He's just kind of fucking with him. And then he slips them some peyote just to be funny. And just so they can drop that he made it and his family is medicine people. And then they go on a spiritual journey. You'd say it's bonding, but it's not.
Yeah.
These guys are in a love triangle where like he controls the girl. She's afraid to get away from him. She maybe likes the new guy or maybe doesn't. New guy likes her. It's a fucking weird. Everyone's using each other to make meth and make money.
How do they kill? That's right. They do the cook.
He wakes up in the morning after the peyote. Nothing big happens really, except that story. He throws up, he goes out, and the guy's like, hey, it's time to start making meth today. And so then our boy goes and he makes the meth.
So what we don't know now as viewers is this is like the 50th time now. Like we see day one as day one, but our first Tuesday that we see with the group is 50 loops in. We'll just guess. I don't think it's that many.
Might be
five. We'll just say, and we don't know that. And so they're going through the day. He does a big cook, and then the girlfriend is starting to warn him already. Is it? I don't remember what she does. She's like, take this gun. I don't know why she gives him the gun.
Oh yeah, she gives him the car key. She's like, just go, get out of this. And he's like, later. You see, you cut to videos of him throughout of the video he sent himself. He's like, was she doing that because she cared, or was she doing that to build trust? We don't know.
We don't know.
But he's like, he dug her and he stayed. Anyway, he makes the meth. At some point, she gives him a gun to protect himself. The other dude comes down, finds the gun, and is like, what's up here? And he's like, dude, you need me to finish the meth. And the guy's like, no, I know you're going to do this, 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 and this. And he's like, what? How'd you know that? You know?
Yeah. And then we still don't find out for quite a while that it's because, we don't find out for actually quite a while. Why do they kill? Does the nerd just somehow get
there? They go to kill the nerd. Oh, he tries to kill him. But then the girl actually helps kill the boyfriend. And then the nerd goes to take the boyfriend to bury him in the woods. And the boyfriend kind of wakes up again and be like, ask me how I know. Ha ha ha. And then just laugh.
Ask her how I know. Her how I know. Yeah. Right.
Laughing maniacally, ha ha.
And this is about as horror film as it gets, because he's like spitting blood on him and popping.
Oh yeah, so much blood.
It's really horrific. And is there another, doesn't he see another hand in the ground at that point?
Oh, I don't remember that, seeing that. No, not yet.
I can't. That
because then he wakes up the next day and now he's like, wait, this is the same day. I don't know how he figures it out. They end up killing the bad guy again. And he talks to the girl, and then he realizes that they are both repeating the same day. And she doesn't say a fucking word, and she's trying to let him figure it out. I mean, we don't know if she just was in the loop anyway, and she was like, this guy is smarter. He'll figure a way to get out of it. I'm going to start killing the boyfriend. Or if she actually cared, we don't know.
Oh, my.
But the nerd starts gathering all the data. He's like reading. There's like articles. Oh, the one cool thing, Des, I will say, on that first day in the log cabin, they listen to the record. And the record's like this oldie timey song about like, we just keep going around and around. Like the song is about that. Just like around the merry-go-round of life. We just keep going in circles. Like it's in like the song. So that was kind of cool. Anyway. Pausing, please.
Check.
Yeah, there you are. Oh, no, we lost you. Lost you. Mm-mm. Hold, please. Oh, wait, it came and then it left. No, it was there for how about. It's gone. Do you hear me? Okay. Weird. You come in for a second, then you go. This is all live, folks. Anything could happen. Nope. Including Desmond's audio difficulties. This is technology.
How about now?
Yes.
Still there?
Yep.
Okay.
That was fun.
StreamYard is a little protective of its security. And it's like, just, you know what? You're a live streaming service. How about you just let all the noise into your system?
This has been sponsored by StreamYard.
So whatever you were reading, reread that. Sorry, everyone out there, if you've already heard it, but I want to know what Scott was reading.
No, I wasn't reading. I was saying how the record kept going around in the beginning when they first get to the cabin. It kept going around. It's like an old-timey song, but how you keep going around the merry-go-round. Anyway, so now they get in this thing where every day they're repeating the day. They wake up in the morning.
So hold on. Before we get to that, I'm going to drag this out because I just realized how fucking much the movie dragged it out.
Okay.
Everything that Scott and I have talked about so far is 40 minutes into the movie. Like, that's why I just realized why I almost didn't want to talk about this movie. Because we're at minute 36 and the nerd is just cooking. And the boyfriend, of course, to continue to prove his psychoticness, is making his girlfriend hold wood while he splits it.
Oh, yeah. And he splits the split. And then he splits the split of that.
Yeah, and then she's holding on to this tiny stick that's an inch wide, and he splits that.
Yeah, get it. He's a psychotic. He's an evil. We get it.
And don't worry, guys. He's smoking through this whole scene. hold on. Speak.
Ah, la, la, la,
okay.
La, la,
okay. Sorry, I'm just a little bit nervous now. Okay, so go ahead. They're repeating.
Yeah, so every day now, there's like funny montage. They kill the other guy, like first thing on the bat. He's like, hey guys, you want to like for breakfast? They're like, boom. And then they get to spend their day together. They're just trying to work. He's trying to get all the info from the scrapbooks around the house. There's been like cannibalism and there's been battles and he's trying to understand. It takes a long time for them to get to it.
So this is where I'd like to point out one of the things I really enjoyed about this movie. We see the suicide montage in loop movies. I believe this is the first time we've seen murder montage for a loop movie.
Really?
I can't think of it where they tried to fix the loop by killing another person. They try to fix the loop often by killing themselves and just be like, fine, if I drop this toaster in the bathtub, maybe I won't have to live this day a fucking again. But I think this is the first murder montage to try to escape a loop, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, a lot of murders. Yeah, that's true.
A lot of murders.
So they're getting, our character's changing. He's like getting pretty good at killing, which he was very difficult for him at first. Somewhere in there, they realize that it's the land itself. It's the environment, that it's native land. And they try driving as far away as they can, but they can't get far enough in a day.
Which I don't buy it.
How far does this? You can go pretty far in a day. You could drive 13 hours. This land does not go that far. That's like going across states.
If $1 million worth of meth can't get you
without, before the meth, they try to do it without that. They just try to drive. You can get up at 7 a.m. You can drive, 13 hours. That's pretty good. You go pretty far. Like
you can get out of any state in 13 hours.
And so the land doesn't take up an entire state. So that's questionable.
Yeah.
Fine. After they realize they can't do that, they decide they're going to make the meth. They're going to go to the original dealer that she knows. With that money, they can get an airplane, or he has his own airplane. And that's the plan. Everything goes down with the dealer. He's the sleaziest dude. He knows her. They talk about this girl like she was 12. They passed around. So it's like she's got a very torrid past.
Yeah.
They try to do this amazing like Tarantino, like True Romance nightclub fight scene that's like just strobed and slow motioned and intercut to recreate what they're trying to go for with a low budget.
It's so just comical. Just the like.
He's got like, the jumpsuit. He's got the drug dealer, like the mustache and the drug dealer jumpsuit. He's a little off kilter. And he's got some like sleazy girlfriend with a shotgun. Anyway, they were going to double cross, right?
Of course.
So they try to shoot them instead of paying them. Is that the one where they kind of run and they almost die? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't. And they wake up and they still remember. And yes. And in this one, they're like so glad to see each other. They're under the deck. They start hugging, kissing. They're about to make out. The boyfriend hasn't been killed yet. He's above them. They shoot above him. And then he just bleeds ferociously onto them under the deck. And they are bathing in the blood and writhing around and making out and having sex in the blood. Like they think it's like a sexy image, but it's like, how much is this guy bleeding?
And that day continues and they never wash it off. Like all day long, they've still got little blood stains all over their body from their little blood sex romp.
Yeah, they really thought this was a cool idea. Unless it's like a vampire who overbleeds, it seems like from a bullet wound, that was an unnecessary amount of blood to leak through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And they're just sexing in someone else's blood.
And they shoot him. They, for all intents and purposes, they shoot him through the asshole from underneath.
I don't even know if that would kill him right away.
And even if it doesn't, everyone knows that the first thing that happens when you die is you release your bowels. So you're also sexing in poop.
It's a weird choice.
When does she reveal?
He realizes it. Somehow he figures out with this, like in the story, the legend has it that one person was left standing. And so with all of them, they're going to keep repeating it until there's one left. So that means they all need to die. Or two out of the two of them, one of them needs to die.
Yes.
And then she pulls this thing of like, what if we just lived here forever and that would be heaven and blah, blah, blah. And this is presumably around where he's like, okay, let's mess with that. But like he records that video because he doesn't trust. He realizes when he goes to the car that the camera, he goes into the system and the camera's been recording this day for, you know, hundreds of hours or whatever.
Yeah, he goes to the car to look for, so he's like looking up an address or something like that. And then somehow he realizes that that day has, oh, what was the number? We could figure out how many days this is, Scott. Oh my gosh.
I don't want to.
Oh, I do.
All right, well, while you're doing that, I'm going to talk. So he takes the camera and the recorder, the system out of the police car. This is presumably when he records this message to himself that he leaves as a failsafe. Because if she ever kills him, and they repeat that day. I get it. No. He must have done it in that day. Yes, Des, this makes sense. He made that recording in that day. In case she was to kill him, this would tell the new version of him with no memory that story. In that day, he goes off and he's like, I'll take care of the boyfriend. He goes to kill him, but he secretly does not. He knocks him out with a gun and he makes a gunshot. So she thinks he killed him. So this guy is alive and tied up somewhere. So when she double crosses our friend, and she's like, sorry, bud, didn't want it to happen this way. It's got to be me. She thinks she won. When she wakes up the next day, she's surprised because he kept the boyfriend alive. So she was not the only one standing. So this is when he did the recording. He's smart. He did it as a failsafe. And the next day he wakes up, he watches the video. She comes down. She sees like the remnant of the videotape and knows that he's reminded himself. So they have a little standoff. But in this standoff, they forget about the boyfriend. And so he conks both of them out, ties them up. He watches the video, and now there's kind of a big showdown with the three of them in the cave, in the like peyote cave.
No, because
in the basement,
he just watches. Oh,
it's the cave. In the basement where they have all their records. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, again, the research doesn't reset. So at some point, the boyfriend is down there just looking at all of this stuff. So I assume you already mentioned that Milton. So anyways, the nerd is Milton. The girl is Skylar. The cop is Russell. So did you talk about finding Milton's pile of bodies?
No, I didn't get to. I skipped that. You're right. I'm near the end where the three of them are about to play Russian roulette. But did forget at some point when he confronted her, he knew that one of them needed to be left standing. But at some point he figured out that she knew more. And he saw,
That's when she kind of starts to come clean. He wanders off in a daze, just, oh my God, I can't believe this. Oh. And then he finds his pile of bodies.
No, she wants him to solve it. And he should know the whole story. So he's thinking straight. She's like, you probably already guessed this, but the first few times that you guys did this, like we killed you. And so she takes him to see a bunch of his bodies buried in a different burial ground.
Which, can I just say, this is crazy just because, Scott, I love you very much. But if we were caught in a time loop, I would try killing you at least once just to get a break. Just because I didn't want to share my whiskey that day.
Couldn't you just say that and I'll stay downstairs? Couldn't you just communicate your needs?
We're going to work on this
time travel therapy.
I'm going crazy, Scott. Everyone knows that in a time travel movie, the only answer is murder. Have you learned nothing from 100 movies?
I thought you just tried killing yourself in a bunch of different ways, and it's exciting.
You must murder everyone around you.
Yeah, so she's already a little questionable to trust. She'd killed him a bunch of times, but then she fell in love with him or learned he's right. Or, they didn't say this, but she thought he was a better chance of them getting out. Anyway, so here we are. It's the three of them. Milton and what's her name are handcuffed together. And then our buddy is like, how are we going to deal with this? And we think he's going to kill them.
Wait. First, the reason we learn all this is because Milton doesn't murder the boyfriend.
Well, he gets the drop on them. They forget about him when he's confronting her.
No, but that
he doesn't remember. Oh, I see. Well, this is the new him that doesn't remember things. This is after he died. So he wakes up not remembering. He watches the video, but then...
But when... Oh, that's right. No. So I might be... I might have misread this. So at some point, he shoots Milton, but doesn't kill Milton, knowing that she's probably going to try to kill him, Milton,
yeah,
so she can get out. Oh, you did. Okay, I'm sorry. I was too busy doing math. Go ahead. Oh, while we're talking about math, guess how many days this movie takes place. This is amazing.
You've done the math?
This is amazing that we have a real answer.
24.
Oh my God. You got 82. So much higher, Scott.
119.
The pile of bodies does a very bad job of proving this. Okay. 1,845.
You divide it by 24?
44,278 minutes.
1,000 days.
Oh, no. You're right. That's 1,000. No, you're right, because that's minutes.
You got to divide minutes. It. Yeah.
Yeah, what's 24 times 60? 24.
This is happening live, folks.
60.
It's 1,440.
Okay, so this movie takes place in 32 hours.
What?
Because
that doesn't make sense.
I know it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm telling you that the math.
Well,
we'll
do this later.
He just did it, Scott. It's done.
So we're at the end. And the guy could take them both out, but he's such a psycho and he's like, we're going to let the gun decide.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I guess that's a better chance than you killing us. And this is my favorite. I love it. He's like, my idea, I'll go first. And the first one, he blows his brains out. And the other two are like, well, we're not going to do this. But then they're fighting each other a little bit. She's going to kill him. Milton ends up getting the gun and he's got the drop on her. She tries to do her like, oh, but we could save it. And ultimately she's like, you love me. And this is an interesting part. He goes, I do. And who knows what the fuck you want? And he kills himself. He's almost like, I love you so much. Like, fuck all this. He kills himself. So she's the last one standing. And so theoretically, I think it goes to the next day. She wakes up. She's still kind of traumatized, even though she won. And the drug dealers, because they never heard from them, they show up there and they do the deal with her. And then she's kind of defenseless in her position. And she's like, oh, you're about to kill me, aren't you? He's like, yep. And then we know that she's kind of laughing maniacally because she knows that they're not going to kill her. But now she'll be stuck in a loop with these assholes. But hopefully she'll figure that out. And she's stuck in loop hell. So everyone kind of, the other two die and she's stuck in loop hell. And that's the end.
So just a reminder of how fucking cool this movie is. So Milton empties all the guns. He hides all the weapons, empties all the bullets out. She remembers on the first night, her psycho boyfriend unracked a bullet that went flying up in the air and got stuck on the chandelier of antlers. And so she remembers later that that's where a bullet is. And that's the bullet she uses to kill him. And then it still doesn't work. But yeah.
So that's our film. It didn't. Here's what it didn't have. It didn't have the well thought out, like all these things were placed. And now that we see the full picture, we get how everything fits together and the different lives. And we need a map. It doesn't have the mindfuck quality. It doesn't have a very cool new version of time travel, like when waves of time go by, or a device, or like the issues of time. It doesn't have someone playing with all the full magic of a time loop and all the fun things you can do with that. It's just this kind of indie double cross Native American appropriation, almost comedy horror attempt. Did not make me very happy. And I Barry, love and respect you, but I have to, instead of putting you on this pedestal like the god you are, I have to accept that you are human and you can also, like me, have faults.
Kimmy no Nawa at number one proves that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Absolutely, you're right.
That we and Barry are different
he has
people.
This film before Arrival, before Back to the Future 3. Yeah, it's a
okay. We're gonna make Ari watch Blood Punch and decide if she'd rather watch Arrival again.
Oh, this was the horror film I wanted to do. There was The House at the End of Time and House of the Disappeared.
Oh, I knew.
number 12. I knew there was one we were missing. I didn't find it until just now.
I know. I screwed up my movie list and I unlabeled the horror movies. So that's totally my fault. Here's a great review. 2 stars. The sound effects were annoying. The gimmick with the match lighting was very overused. And the characters were rather flat, to say just a few things about this honestly overrated movie. This movie is very well regarded by critics and viewers alike. Like, this has an 88% by critics and a 64% by viewers, which 64% isn't super high, but considering, I mean, I guess, you know, if you're watching this movie, you're probably, you know, all about low budget indie films. So there's going to be something you're going to enjoy about it. Hold on. I just want to do.
It's okay. I'm reading Barry's article. Why are there so many dead bodies? While he's finding that. Also, I have to say, the big issue is the inconsistency of the logic. It's okay if the body clones and you keep the dead body, but the research stays, or that the camera keeps going. Why was the camera this constant? Is time resetting? If it's not in their mind, I have a question with this logic. It just doesn't make sense. Either time is resetting or it's not. I'll let you keep your memory for some reason, but anything else staying if time resetting is a very strange concept, and it does not have a good logic for me.
I like the camera. I don't know why. I just feel like that's technology that may as well be, you know, Wiccan craft to me. The bodies and the research is weird. And the other people's research, like they find all the articles in there from the previous loops and like that stuff stays. I don't know.
Oh, by looking at the Barry article, I could see it's 44,278 hours. Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's
he says. This is the Barry article. He says it's a little over 5 years. It says it's hours. It's 44,278 hours.
So I'm right.
49 minutes, 28 seconds. He says the three of them have been living and killing for 5 years. He says, judging by the video device, if he doesn't remember himself recording, it's because Skylar probably killed him in the last loop, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was right the first time. 1,845 days. But it doesn't matter what day, how many days it is, Scott. What we need to know is what time is it?
I'm gonna look. I think it's probably like 4:30 or something. I'm gonna look at the times. Do you know what time it is for you?
I want to go like right down the middle of the road, but I know I've done that with a couple movies recently. So, and after this conversation and the inconsistencies, I'm gonna take it down a little bit. Do I have a 5:45? Let me see. Manadu, yeah. I liked it more than Manadu.
Where on the spreadsheet does it show our times?
At the very bottom of Time Pop recorded.
Okay, great. There it is.
I liked it more than that.
I don't remember Omni Loop.
I liked it more. 5:30. 5:30. I'll go first. 5:30. All right.
I'm going for 4:15. folks, we're not trying to do the bad time travel movie podcast. That's not our intention. We get some bad luck every now and then. We've gone through the goodies, so that's why we need your advice of some good stuff. I do want to do that other horror film. I do want to try. It's in Barry's list, but
we can extend. We had a rough time recording this month. We can extend Halloween scheduling one more week. I think I would be okay with that.
It sounds hard. It says The House at the End of Time or The House that Disappeared. One is Venezuelan and then made again in Korean.
Okay, Scott. More importantly, I'm going to say this so it's recorded and we will be held to the fire for this. Our next list, we need to make 2 lists.
Okay.
The absolute worst time travel movies.
Oh.
But then we also have to do watchably bad. So we'll do like
the worst. This is good.
Yeah. We I
the
can't
worst believe- and we'll defend why. We'll do the worst at 1 and the best worst at 10. That's
maybe
fun.
That's what we'll do. Yeah, we'll just do top 10 worst.
Top worst. The worst time travel.
But we'll discuss during. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're going to do that soon. We're going to try to. I'm going to push that hard so we can get a live audience here for our.
What have we gone up to, by the way? We've gone up to 30.
Yeah.
At some point, I want to go up to 42 because there's a few that didn't make it in and there's some corrections that maybe need to get made. I don't know if I need to go much more than that or for consistency, if we want to just go to 50 and call it at some point. But
we'll see. We're going to. I know we keep promising this. I've got to do some rewatches before I get to. Yeah. I'm just going to be throwing darts at 50. I'm going to be like, I don't know. I don't remember hating this movie, so I guess it's 45.
Yeah, there's still some that I didn't make it that I was a little bit. There's like 3 to 5 that I was like, ah, I wanted in that last one, but it was hard.
Scott, I'm going to make you do a top 40 improvised list on the spot. Bang, 20 minutes, go.
I'm going to just make up movie titles.
All right,
time out. All right.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Scott Lifton.
This has been live, folks. All
this
that
happened. Yeah.
All that shit you heard happened live. And you could have been here to watch my technology struggles.
This was improvised.
I'll try to get better.
If you watch this in the future, you will not be watching it live. It would have already happened. And it kind of messes with our sense of the time-space continuum. But
while you're doing that in real time, you can send your questions and comments about this episode. And we'll answer them next time. Live.
In the future.
Live.
But in the present then.
Right.
In the future, it'll be in the present when we do it.
Yes. And.
And. In the past, if they watch it after we do it.
Woo!
All right.
Have a great day, Scott.
Yeah, you too. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.